Welcome. As we sit here, we can drift into discursive thinking or simply be still and present, using the opportunity of being in this collective energy field to support the arising dimension of stillness in you, which is also power, unconditioned, timeless. So you give up all knowing, the accumulated knowledge, don't need it here, in order to access the source of all knowledge. But the giving up of the accumulated knowledge, of course, is also the giving up of the mind-made self that consists of accumulated thought forms. So as we sit here, we are dying a little death or a big death and realize that nothing real actually died, only the illusion of a false self. What remains is consciousness, the very bare fact that you are. So at this moment, this is the opportunity of sensing something much more fundamental than the history of who you think you are in the mind. My past. Your sense of identity, you no longer need to derive from that. It's still there. You can remember it if you want to, when you need it, rarely. But who are you really beyond the story of your life, beyond your personal history? Who am I really? There's no conceptual answer. It would be just another thought, but direct realization. And suddenly there is that space of open, spacious awareness in which you don't seem to know anything anymore. You can look at the world in absolute innocence and see its beauty and aliveness and miraculousness without calling it even beauty and aliveness. You merge with whatever you perceive, because the considering yourself to be a separate entity, here's me and there's the rest of the universe, was created, this delusion was created by compulsive, unconscious, continuous mental interpretations and labelings and judgments. So-called knowledge, opinions. And suddenly, as we sit here, spacious awareness replaces, so to speak, compulsive thinking. And that's enormous liberation to realize that dimension in yourself. You're liberated from the person, the thinker, the me, the troublemaker, the problem maker, the one who dwells in continuous, almost continuous discontent and sense of non-fulfillment. And anxiety and fear. What about me? And you realize you are so much deeper than that absurd little entity. But you have to have the courage to go to that place of what looks like, from an external habitual mental viewpoint, looks like a place where you don't know anything anymore, because the compulsive interpretations have dissolved. And you merge with everything. You look at a flower, a human being, and there's no longer a sense of me and the other, because the sense of me and the other was created by concepts, continuous conceptualization of reality, compulsive conceptualization of reality, a deadening habit. And so you come suddenly, there's an intense increased aliveness, because the veil of conceptualization falls, or is pushed aside, is allowed to drop. Maybe that's the best way of putting it. And then you suddenly interact and perceive without the veil of conceptualization. And you suddenly inhabit a universe that is intensely alive, where even inanimate objects, you can sense their beingness. And you can sense the very fact of your own being as the very basis for this universe, the I am, beingness itself, the fact that you are. That in itself, to know that you are, not this or that, but to know that you are, to know it directly, is joyful. So to know your own, your being, is joyful. Just the fact of being. The ancient Indian teachers knew that, and they still know it now, some of them, always some awakened beings there. So they call it being, consciousness, bliss, satchit ananda, is to be aware of the being that you are, means consciousness, the unconditioned, the light of the world, becoming aware of itself. Awareness is aware of awareness, so to speak. Not aware of something, aware of nothing, the no-thingness. You can be aware of this flower, but even as you are looking at this flower, you can be aware of the awareness in which this flower appears. To sense that, another way of putting it, to sense a spaciousness in the background of your being, a vast space, a still alive space, and in the foreground, things happen and appear and disappear. And then whatever happens and appears and disappears is actually miraculous. But you no longer relate to it in a needy way. I need this to be there and that to be there in order so that I can feel okay. No, the okayness is much prior to all that. What appears or not appears does not appear. So as you have the vast spaciousness in the background, you can interact with much greater ease with the foreground of your life, with other humans. You don't need them anymore to fulfill you, and you don't fear them anymore because they might not do what they're supposed to do, strengthen your ego or give you something, or stay attached to you to fulfill you in some way. So you begin to relate to other humans without that, the neediness or the fear, in freedom, and really love. That's love when you don't want anything from the other anymore, and yet there is a recognition of shared being. In the same way, there's the recognition of shared being with the flower. And there's no concepts there. You don't say, oh, the flower and I are really one. I have to think about that. Or I'm trying to be loving because I'm supposed to love my neighbor. I'm trying. It doesn't work. You can't do it through conceptualization. It's only through the spaciousness that opens up, that the true recognition of being in whatever life form appears in front of you, that recognition of being is there. Being recognizes itself. It disguises itself in millions of life forms, temporary disguises, and you recognize. You look through the disguise, and sometimes the disguise is very strong. That's the play of the universe. Let's really disguise ourselves, and some humans are heavily disguised. God disguising him, her, itself very well. And with others, the disguise is not so heavy. But the heavy disguise is more challenging, it's more fun in a way. I'm talking about, of course, difficult humans. To recognize shared beingness in a flower is, of course, much easier because the disguise is far, far, far less. Much easier than to recognize the shared beingness when confronted with an angry human who says, "You!" But there's the space for that also. And you look, oh, give him or her the space to do their act. And you don't need to react. Let them do their act, but you don't need compulsively to react, because if compulsively you react, you adopt your disguise again, and you play your part in the drama or the dream of existence. All the world's a stage. And all the men and women merely players, or however else it Shakespeare's phrase goes. So to recognize your essential beingness is such a simple, it's so simple that it becomes difficult for the complicated humans. It's so, such a primordial fact. And then consciousness recognizes itself, really, that's what it is. And that is joyful or blissful. And so the Indian teachers, masters, they string together three words and make it into one. Satchitananda, being, consciousness, bliss, to describe that state of connectedness, of oneness with being. It's very simple, too simple. And what you access also is intelligence itself, the unconditioned, out of which anything new arises, an insight, an idea. That is the place of true intelligence. I call it sometimes non-conceptual intelligence, or the unconditioned consciousness. And that's where suddenly creativity opens up in your life. Because the person is not creative. The mind is not creative, but it can be an instrument of true intelligence. And the mind has no intelligence of its own. It borrows its intelligence from universal intelligence. So the secret then is to not lose touch with who you truly are as you go about this world, seemingly participating in the play, but knowing at the same time, not conceptually, being the space and then pretending also to be the person while you do things. So you are the space while you talk to someone, listen to someone in spacious awareness. So you bring that dimension into the interaction. If you only did that, listening whenever other humans are talking to you, if you only did that, if you are able to use every opportunity whenever any human being talks to you, listen in spacious awareness instead of listening through mentally, immediately agreeing or disagreeing or thinking of the next thing you are going to say, or I know exactly what you need, let me tell you what you need, I know that already. But be there as an open field of aware presence. If you only did that, it would be enough to transform your life, your relationships with every human, because the old patterns would no longer be operating through you. Would transform your relationships with all human beings, and of course will also help others without you feeling that you are helping, you're not doing anything. But it is an invitation to others, if there's the slightest openness in the other, to join you in that field of aware presence. And if they don't join you in that field of aware presence, it's fine too. But if that were your only spiritual practice, listening in that way to other you would be enough to transform your life. And if enough humans transform their lives in that way, then of course the world gets transformed. It's only a collective expression of the collective consciousness that. So unless you live as a hermit, in other words, you never listen to anybody except your mind. And most of you are not hermits, so you interact with people, and every day you listen to people, you're on the phone. Well, unless you get so much into texting that you don't talk to them anymore. For teenagers, I may have to think of some other way of being if they don't talk anymore. No, it goes with your thumbs. You can see I haven't only had a phone for a few months of that kind, so I do like this. So if that's your only spiritual practice, quite enough. Just the listening. Because whenever you listen, well, you are not there as an egoic entity. You're not bringing in your past. You're not even there as a person anymore. The person recedes and you're there as awareness. And it doesn't mean that now you have to be, you can't talk anymore. No. It means then as you talk or reply or give your viewpoint, you very clearly realize that what you are giving is your viewpoint. You don't merge with your viewpoint, and then anybody who questions or attacks your viewpoint is considered a mortal enemy because you have confused who you are with a thought in your head, which is your viewpoint, which is insane. So you can still, you don't have to say, I have no opinion anymore about anything. No. All it means is you recognize that these are opinions, viewpoints, in other words, thoughts, and they have their viewpoints and opinions, thoughts. Now, they may be still totally identified. That's okay. You allow them to be that. But you are there primarily as space. But in that space, your viewpoint can be expressed and say, this is what I believe, that there's a spaciousness around it. And you are the spaciousness. You are not the viewpoint. And you can give your viewpoint. And then you say, my view on the President of the United States is that he's doing very well. And, or you say, my view one is that I feel a little disappointed, as some people say. And then you can allow the other person to say, no, I think the President of the United States is controlled by aliens. Well. Maybe he is. It's a viewpoint. So you're beyond needing, allowing those to be. The identification with mind structures, viewpoints, is gone. You are not there as a mental entity that needs identification with thinking to give it a sense of to give you a sense of who you are. It's a dreadful state because you're continuously in conflict with other thinkers. In fact, you need the conflict because without the conflict, this phantom that consists of identification with thinking couldn't even survive. So you have to generate more conflict with other thinkers so that your thinker can feel its boundaries more clearly. If it sounds insane, it is because it is insane. And it's called normal too. So the what arises then is a new consciousness on the planet, like a new species coming out of the old. There's a shift, a huge shift happening. Otherwise we wouldn't be here. And no need so much to look at what's going to happen out there, because what's going to happen, what looks like out there, is determined by the... Because it's so easy to forget. Why is it easy to forget to be the spacious awareness while you listen to other humans? Because the gravitational pull of the old mind structures and the mental habit of absorbing all your consciousness into thinking is very strong and old. So there is a momentum there, or a heaviness, a heavy old pull of the mind that is used to possessing your entire consciousness and continues transforming your entire consciousness into thinking. And it wants to come back in there. It wants you to give your total identification, your total attention to the thinking, become one with the thinking. So the pull will come, and so it's recognizing when the pull comes. And then the moment you recognize it, the alertness grows. So you suddenly become, oops, I'm being pulled into, and then your alertness suddenly arises. And then there's no thinking. Then suddenly you're again you're aware of the space, of your awareness. So you may have to, quite a few times during the day, experience that shift, falling back into the old, or it could take a few minutes, you're back into that's how they normal living goes like that. That's you're talking to yourself continuously. But some people are better at disguising it than I do at the moment. But really, that's how it is. If it were not so well disguised, they put on a mask and you think, you think they're not thinking. Not surprisingly, the word person comes from Latin persona, which means mask. But really, under the mask, there's that going on. And sometimes with people who are considered a little bit insane, you can see it more clearly, but they're not really much more insane than the normal person. And then they look at you, and what they think is, who are you really? What are you trying to do? It's good to laugh at this, because that in itself is a liberation. When you recognize those normal human patterns in others, and occasionally even in yourself, and you say, wow, there it is again. Now, as you know, sometimes some disaster in your life can also pull you out of identification with the mind and make you present. Can happen. There's always the opportunity, the opening when things collapse around you, when the crack appears, the light shines through.
That's why the crack.
But this is a voluntary death, not the involuntary death that humans experience when some kind of disaster happens and all their life collapses around them. So one more suggestion for your practice. You remember the listening. That's just a beautiful practice. Don't give up when you lose yourself in thinking. Just notice it and come back to alertness. There is a degree of alertness in which compulsive thinking doesn't happen anymore. So, and there is a, when you find that alert dimension of alertness in you, you suddenly realize that normal existence, which is the voice in the head, identifying with the voice in the head, is a dreamlike state. And you suddenly, this is why there's traditionally the term awakening used in different spiritual traditions, because the normal state of being identified with the mental, the voice in the head all the time, is a state of a dreamlike state. You're not here. There's nobody there. There's just the dream happening. And suddenly the alertness comes and you wake up out of the dream. Wow. And perhaps after a while, you fall back into that state. And then you come back out because you're beginning to suffer. It's a good sign. Some kind of pain or suffering arises. Oh, lost it. But of course, the moment you realize you lost it, you haven't lost it. So, listening. And another practice that's very helpful is sensory awareness, looking or listening to sounds without interpretation. Anything. So occasionally, when there's nothing else to do, which surprisingly, even in a busy person's life, there are lots of moments when there's nothing else to do because you're waiting for the next thing to happen. And you can be just practice non-labeling perception of things and natural things, inanimate objects, whatever is there. There's also, you are the space, the spacious awareness through which the perception happens. You are the light of the world. And in that light, which is consciousness, this appears, and that appears, and that appears. And gradually, awareness becomes more permanent. The frequency of losing awareness is lessens, and the time period during which you lose awareness lessens, and then gradually it becomes the permanent foundation for your life. In other words, self-realization continuously. But there's no point in asking, when is it going to be permanent? How much longer do I have to wait? Just deal with this moment. Much easier. Just this. And it's always simple.